हरे कृष्ण
हरे
हरे गुरु महाराज,
प्रभात की जय।
हरे कृष्ण गुरु महाराज, प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय हम्बल ओबेसेंसेस, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद एंड ऑल ग्लोरीज टू योर होलीनेस सेकंड गुरु महाराज। हरे कृष्ण, आई वेलकम एवरीवन टू भक्ति संघा जप कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल। टुडे वी आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हिज होलीनेस चंद्रमौली स्वामी महाराज to enlighten us on topic of glories of Srimati Radharani and Srimati Sita Thakurani. And before handovering the call to Guru Maharaj, I would like my Prabhu to introduce Guru Maharaj on the call. One second.
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. I will humbly, you know, read about Maharaj and introduce to everybody on the call. Maharaj was born in New Jersey, USA in 1947, and he came into contact with Krishna consciousness in Denver, Colorado at the age of 24 in 1973, and he began Krishna consciousness preaching and practicing in New York City, and shortly thereafter began serving at the New Vrindavan Farm community in West Virginia. That same year, he received initiation from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And in 1986, Maharaj accepted the sannyas order and began preaching in Cincinnati and Columbus, Ohio. In the early 1980s, he became involved with the ISKCON prison ministry in the USA and began visiting prisoners and holding programs in jails, along with regularly writing letters to inmates and sending them Srila Prabhupada's books. Maharaj is now the leader of the ISKCON prison ministry and has worked tirelessly to document the spiritual progression of the worldwide inmate community. His dedication to the welfare, growth, and sustainable rehabilitation of these prisoners has culminated in the book Holy Jail, a touching compilation of the activities of the ISKCON prison ministry. In over 30 years of operation, the lives of hundreds of inmates have changed due to the practice of Krishna consciousness and the support received by devotees. In 1995, Maharaj began serving as the resident sannyasi in Chicago, where he was based until 2013, when he relocated to Karlovac, Croatia. And presently, Maharaj offers a spiritual guidance around Europe, USA, and India. Maharaj is a disciple of ISKCON founder A.C. Acharya Sri and Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and an initiating spiritual master within the ISKCON community. Thank you, Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Praise Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, Jai Ho. Just a point of information, there is a second book, also called Forbidden Voices.
Yes, Maharaj.
Which is more of a direct connection with the words of the inmates who are practicing Krishna consciousness in the prisons. We call it more like from the inside out.
Yes, Maharaj.
And that book is more recent. It's been out for a couple years now, and that one goes right to the words of the... Of course, the first one is all-encompassing in terms of the different categories that we can include, but the second book is more focused on the inmates themselves. And so those books are available through Amazon.com. You can go on Amazon and find the book also. Okay, so today we'll speak... Today is actually the appearance day of Sita Thakurani, the consort, or might say the beloved wife of Sri Advaita Acharya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Om Gyan Timiram Dasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guru Vega Maha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shumakti Bhakti Garanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pucharine Nirvishe Sasunyavari Pasyatya De Satarine Vanchakalpa Tarupischa Vipasindu Pai Vicha Putitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What is available on the life of Sita Thakurani is very much what you can find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which it mostly focuses on when Lord Chaitanya appeared in this world. When the ladies in the villages around, and of course Advaita Acharya being the prime, he was the head of all the Brahmin community in Shantipur. He had two places. He had a house in Shantipur. He also had a place in Navadvip. Mm-hmm. His good wife was Sita Thakurani, and he had six children. And it's mentioned that three of them actually were favorable to their father's activities and were also spiritually inclined, and three were not. So we see even in the family of great souls, Advaitacharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Mahavishnu himself. And so his personality is on the level of the Godhead. Out of the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, the first three are what we call Vishnu Tattva. Then we have Gadadhara Shakti Tattva. And then we have Srivas, who is Jiva Tattva. So the five are there, and they make up the Panchatattva. So Advaita Acharya, he is Mahavishnu, but he also has an element of Sadashiva as part of his personality, part of his identity. And we know when Lord Chaitanya first, just before Lord Chaitanya appeared, there were different reasons to bring about the appearance of the Lord, and Sri Advaita Acharya was one of those main factors. By his sincere prayers, in feeling compassion for the fallen souls in the area, seeing that they were wasting their time in materialistic endeavor. And it was quite interesting, the time when Lord Chaitanya appeared, Navadvip was the bastion of education without, practically, they sometimes they say within the whole world. And scholars from all over the world would travel to Navadvip to get the best of education. But there was little education on bhakti. Most of the education was on worship, in the area of worship, was on worship of the devas and the demigods. And there was a lot of shakta worship also. And so Advaita Acharya, being the Supreme Personality of God, and seeing people wasting their life in worshiping those elements of worship that cannot bring one to the goal of life, which is pure love of God, or devotion to God, he was feeling at first quite angry, but then his anger transformed into a type of compassion. And in that compassion, he started to pray to the Supreme Lord for the Lord to appear. And it is explained that when Lord Chaitanya was here, he had also mentioned that he had can't come because of the prayers of Sri Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya was a very respectable person in all sense of the word. He was the head of the Brahmin community. He was also quite wealthy in terms of his material existence. He had received so much, what we say, gifts. Brahmins don't work. It's not the business of a Brahmin to take occupation in this world. A Brahmin is mentioned as patan, patan, yajan, yajan, dana pratigraha. A Brahmin is versed in six activities, and that is to know the scriptures, to teach the scriptures, to know the process of deity worship, and be able to teach that process to others, to give in charity and also accept charitable gifts. These are the six activities of a Brahmin. A Brahmin would never work for anyone a Brahmin would starve, a Brahmin would beg, or somehow or other get whatever he needs by collecting whatever is left in the paddy fields. This is mentioned in Bhagavatam. And more accepting gifts like that. But the Brahmins would never take up employment in order to maintain their existence. This is completely opposite of the minical life. So he was the head of a Brahmin community and quite wealthy because he had received so many gifts. Well, it's explained, his good wife, when she had heard about the appearance of the Lord, Sita Devi, who is worshipful as good as her husband, took permission and went to that child to offer gifts. Yeah. She brought all kinds of golden ornaments, including armlets, necklaces, ankles, and bangles. Also, tiger nails set in gold, waist decorations of silk ornaments on the hands and legs, printed silk saris, and many child garments made of silk. Now you can see from these gifts, and we also go back, this was the land of India 530 years ago. There was no, what we say, poverty. Poverty is this idea that is propagated by the Western reporters that India is poverty stricken. But even in the villages, people live according to their needs. And so there's no question of poverty. Nobody is starving. Everybody gets what they need, but they might live very simple. But you see here from this description of the gifts that she made. Also, there were other things she included, including gold and silk coins, were also presented to the child. So we can rightly conclude that this idea of poverty that is sometimes presented in that area of the world is simply some propaganda. Now we might say we are more in poverty than we are before. Now everything is either plastic or some corrugated wood. Everything is synthesized and artificial nowadays. Houses are made of cheap wood, and they are quite, especially in America, I know the houses are just so cheaply made and so quickly made so they can make a house and sell it as fast as they can. But houses were made out of, you know, nice, beautiful bricks and many columns made out of ivory and very, very costly jewelry. And so this was there even during the time of Lord Chaitanya. And of course, being the head of the Brahmin community, he was quite wealthy. So the gifts that he gave were mentioned here. And so his wife, and then she also says, riding on a palanquin covered with a cloth and accompanied by maidservants, Sita Takarani came to the house of Jagannath Mishri, bringing with her auspicious articles like fresh grass, paddy, gura, chana, turmeric, kumkum, and sandalwood. Now, if you want sandalwood, it's under government control. Especially in India, I know I would try to purchase some sandalwood oil. And it was extremely expensive to get sandalwood oil. And only certain shops would carry it. And the shops would only get their oil with government permission. And they had to pay an extra tax in order to sell sandalwood oil. So it was very expensive. It's also mentioned that she went riding on the palanquin. Prabhupada makes a nice point in this discussion that a respectable lady would not go out in public to be viewed by the common men. A respectable lady, when she had to travel, she would travel in a covered palanquin carried by assistants or servants like that. Prabhupada makes one point where His mother, even if she had to go to the house next door, she wouldn't walk. A palanquin would come and she would be carried over. So that was about 100 years ago. That was still very much as part of the standard culture for ladies like that. So it's mentioned here. And it goes on to say, Sita Takarani, she came to the house of Sachi Devi with many edibles, different kinds of dresses, gifts. And she astonished when she saw this beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous baby. Babies, when they're first born, you can't really say that they're so beautiful. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead at any time in his appearance, in any form that he appears in, always carries the element of his Aishwarya, and one is beauty. He's very beautiful. When she saw the beautiful child, she was astonished, appreciated. And then, except for the difference in color, she could understand that he was directly Krishna of Sri Gokul. Yeah. And of course it describes many of the things. Seeing the transcendental bodily effulgence of the child with such beautiful constructed limbs and signs resembling that of gold, Sita Takarani was pleased and because of maternal affection, she felt as if her heart was melting. She blessed the newborn child by praising the gifts. May you be blessed with a long duration of life. But being afraid of ghosts and wishes, she gave the child the name Nimai. So there is a tree called the Neem tree, and ghosts and witches will not go near a near Neem tree because it has a certain effect. And people use neem in order to keep away birds. This is still very much the tradition in present day India. So she named him Nimai. So of course his actual name was given was Vishwambar. Vishwambar was, of course his mother used to call him Nimai. But Vishwambar was the name given, and Vishwambar actually means one who maintains the entire universe. So the name was appropriate for the child, who was none other than Sri Krishna himself. This describes, in essence, a little bit about Sita Takarani. It says, on another day, the mother and the son bathed and left the maternity home. Sita Takarani gave them all kinds of ornaments and garments and also honored Jagannath Mishra. She was honored by Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra, and after great happiness, she returned to her home. Prabhupada goes on to say that nowadays the maternity room is simply the hospital, but in traditional society, and even in Western traditional society, the women would give birth at home in a very purified room, assisted by a wet nurse, and in that way everything would be done nicely at the home. And everything was, when Papa said, now we go to hospitals, pay large fees in order to deliver a child. I was recently, not recently, maybe a little bit more than a year ago. Yeah, no, not even a year ago. It was September of last year. I was hearing the stories of many of the ladies who were at New Vrindavan in the old days, and how they gave birth without the help of any doctors at the time, in places like the barn, where we would keep cows. Many of the women would give birth in the barn. Of course, it wasn't the best situation, but that's all we had. And of course, there was nothing lacking in the birth arrangements. Everything was taken care of by the devotees. So here Prabhupada wants to make the point that this idea of hospitals is something new that are used now for women to take birth. Of course, whatever works the best, you might say we can't find fault with hospitals, but we can say whatever works the best is actually what is needed. But because today we find it very convenient to go to hospitals, all these other arrangements are not even considered. Okay, this is a little bit about the life of Sita Thakurani. She was a very respectable and very, what we say, pure-hearted lady. As it mentions, she was worshipped on the same level of her husband. She had 6 children, 3 were glorious, and 3 somehow or other turned away from the path of bhakti and adopted another path. So this is a little bit about Sita Thakurani. We don't have a lot of information coming from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm sure if we search through other various literatures, such as the works given by Vrindavan Das Thakur, we might find more information about Sita Thakurani. She's called Thakurani, respectable and spiritually elevated person. So applying that same name to the ladies, it becomes Thakurani. And so this is not a small title. It's even above the principle of renunciation. It's an exalted title. It's a glorious title. It's a title that is not given surreptitiously or out of some kind of convenience. It is only applied to those who are very highly elevated in spiritual practice, spiritual enlightenment. This was Sita Devi. Okay, these are a few things about Sita Devi. In the introduction to the class, there was a statement about speaking about Srimati Radharani. I didn't prepare at all for that, but since it is part of the presentation, I will try to say something in relationship to Srimati Radharani in terms of the tattva. Srimati Radharani is the internal energy of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord has three main spiritual energies, which are called Sandini, Sanvit, and Ladini. Sanvit is his element of eternality, which maintains all of the spiritual existence. Sanvit is the element by which he knows everything, spiritual and material. And Ladini is his internal pleasure potency, which manifests in the form of Srimati Radharani. So Radha and Krishna are actually one. They are none different, but they separate themselves in order to perform eternal pastimes. Srimati Radharani is called Bhakti Devi. She is the element of pure devotional service to Krishna. Any bhakti that any of us living entities have within our existence, and whatever to whatever degree that bhakti is there, is just a small drop of the element of bhakti that exists within Srimati Radharani. She is the complete manifestation of pure devotional service. Her devotion to Krishna is not ever explained or understood by anyone. Not even Krishna himself can understand her. It explains that Lord Chaitanya appeared in this world to understand three things in relationship to himself. When Krishna was traveling, when Krishna was at Dwarka and Narada Muni was traveling, he came to the place where Krishna was in Dwarka. Krishna was with his queen, Rukmini, the principal queen in Dwarka Dham. And Rukmini was massaging the feet of Dwarkadish. And she said to him, and while she was massaging, her emotions became very visible, and she became overwhelmed with love, so much so that she started to pour out her heart, describing the glories of Krishna's lotus feet. Well, in her words, she was saying, you don't know, no one knows, actually how glorious your lotus feet are. And because she kept repeating it over and over again, the Lord became a little curious, or not only little, but he became very curious to understand what is about me that is so wonderful. And finally, in this exchange of love, Rukmini said, my dear Lord, there is one person who understands your glories, Srimati Radharani. She is the only one, no one else, there's no second. So hearing that, the Lord became curious. So he manifested his form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's form is also eternal. So when we say manifested, that means he decided to appear in that form in this particular time period, to experiencing his own good qualities. So Srimati Radharani is the internal mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Radharani and Krishna have become one in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not Radharani, he's Krishna, but he has her mood. And he also has her color. He is called Gauranga and she is called Gaurangi, golden-limbed. So he took on her color and her loving mood in order to come to this world and show compassion for the fallen souls, and to experience her love for him, the happiness that she experiences in that love, and the good qualities that she experiences in him. So it's mentioned in the Shastra that there are three characteristics of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, which are called the internal reasons for his appearance in this world, and that is to understand her love, to understand, to experience the happiness she experiences in that love, and to understand his own, what is it about her that is so, what is it about him that is so attractive to her. So this appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or the manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is a very unique, a very rare, and a very mysterious manifestation of the Godhead. Although Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Padayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gola Triste Namaha, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the most magnificent, magnanimous, merciful manifestation ever in the incarnations and appearances of the Lord to the conditioned souls. But yet, he remains a great mystery at the same time as far as his internal mood is concerned. And we can read about that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as we read his different pastimes in experiencing Radharani's love for him. So Srimati Radharani is that element. Her appearance day comes up on 26th. And tomorrow is also a very auspicious day. It's the appearance of Lalita Devi. Lalita Devi appears 2 days before the appearance of Srimati Radharani. Lalita Devi is one of the most confidential friends and also assistants of Srimati Radharani. She has a very unique position amongst all of the gopis. She appears in two of the exalted categories of gopis. There are two categories of gopis that are both exalted. One is called the Astasakis, and one is called the main gopis. They are called, what is the word? There are two different categories, but Lalita appears in both of these categories as both the Astasakis and the prime gopis. There are prime gopis, that's another category, which has different gopis than the Astasakis. But Lalita is in all two of those, both of those categories. Both categories has 8 gopis. So she's very unique. And there's one beautiful pastime. I can tell that pastime. It's about Lalita and Radharani. It's a pastime that is very instructive to all of us. It's a pastime showing the compassion of Radharani and also a little bit about our present existence. There was one jackal. A jackal is not a very popular animal, even amongst animals. A jackal is one that makes very strange noises. And it sounds, if you go to Mayapur and you stay in Mayapur, you can hear the jackals screeching at night. Usually in the wee hours of the night, you'll hear a jackal concert. A jackal kirtan. And it is very, I don't know, I can't really describe it. Nobody can describe it. What is the experience you have? But it's definitely not the most, what we say, exhilarating experience. So jackals, so there was one little jackal, and this jackal was running around in Vrindavan, and two boys who were in Vrindavan, they saw the jackal, so they decided to harassed this little jackal, so they started to chase it. The jackal, being very much frightened, ran into a hole. And the boys, being very, very naughty and mischievous, they put some leaves, some twigs in front of the hole and set those on fire and left. So the jackal is inside the hole and the smoke is coming in, and the jackal can't get out. At the same time, it's suffering because of the smoke. So the jackal is crying very loudly. Radharani and Lalita are walking by, and Radharani says to Lalita, "You hear that sound? It sounds like someone is in great distress. How could this be? This is Vrindavan. Please, Lalita, find out." So Lalita goes, and she notices the little fire there. Hearing the sound, she follows. She puts out the fire and takes the little jackal in her arms and brings it to Srimati Radharani. And Radharani shows her kindness to the jackal like that. So this is a very sweet pastime, but it also has a deeper meaning that we are in the fire of this material existence. Dhavagni. Samsara dava nalita loka, danaya karana vana ganatvam. Pratasya kalyana gunar navasyam vande guru shri charanarvinda. This material world is meant for the suffering of the living entities. Anyone who tries to become happy in material life, it's like trying to lick the honey that's inside the bottle without opening the bottle. This is the attempt to become happy in this material world. This analogy is used by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So this material world is simply meant for the defeat of the living entities. There are so many miseries in this world. And sometimes people suffer so much that they just want to die, or they suffer so much that they do die. So this is the material world. It's not a nice place. And it's not meant to be a nice place. But here we are, at least in the environment. But the consciousness should be like the jackal, that we are crying out to Radharani, please, my dear mother, pick us up from this miserable material existence and situate us at the lotus feet of your Prabhu, Krishna himself, so we can find the happiness that is meant for our existence. So this is Srimati Radharani. So it says that if you want to approach Krishna, you can only approach Krishna through Srimati Radharani. And Radharani is approached through the process of bhakti, and especially through Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is approached through Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda is the manifestation of the pure spiritual master represented by the Guru. So by carefully following the instructions of the spiritual master and enthusiastically worshiping the Lord in devotion, one can chant the holy names of the Lord with relish, with sweetness, with happiness. And then by that chanting, when one develops a taste for chanting, and then the door to Vrindavan Dham is open. And then we can approach Srimati Radharani for her mercy in order to reveal to us the sweet mood of Sri Vrindavan Dham, which is the highest spiritual attainment that one can achieve. So Radharani is, she is Bhakti Devi. She is also called Krishnamayi. That's another one of her names. That means that there's nothing else about her than Krishna. She's Krishna inside. She's Krishna outside. And so there are so many beautiful stories connected to the appearance day of Srimati Radharani, which we'll speak about on the actual day at my 4 o'clock presentation. I'm sorry, not 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock UK time presentation, which is, I think it's, I'm not sure what is the time. It's maybe 7 o'clock in the morning, your time. Or maybe more. No, not that late. No, it's a lot later. 4 o'clock UK time is 11 o'clock, yeah, is 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, and 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I think most of you online are on Eastern Standard Time. Okay, and then we'll give a full presentation on the appearance day of Srimati Radharani for those who are desirous. So we want to mention a little bit now just to inspire us to get ready for this wonderful appearance, because Radharani is our mother. She is our spiritual mother. Krishna is our spiritual father. So we have our mothers and we have our fathers, but we have our spiritual mother and father. who is Srimati Radharani and Krishna himself. And Krishna manifests his mercy through his fatherly mercy through the spiritual master, and his motherly mercy he manifests through the process of devotional service. Because Radharani and pure devotional service are absolute in nature. Okay, so we can conclude here for today and see if there's any comments on Sita Thakurani, Lord Chaitanya, Srimati Radharani, Lalita Devi, or just on the process of devotional service.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada and all goes to Your Holiness. Thank you so much for your wonderful class and nice pastimes you told Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for coming on the call and enlightening on this topic, Guru Maharaj.
We just touched the surface. We didn't even touch the surface. It's just a little tiny drop.
So I request the devotees, if they have any questions or comments or realizations, they can go ahead and share with Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much.
We have, from the chat, we have humble obeisances from, there's no name there, but it's mentioned, humble obeisances to all the assembled Vaishnavas from one devotee.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj, so these days like Lalita Sakhi's appearance day and Radharani's Radhashtami, what should be our mood on these days? How should we, what is the best for us as a sadhaka, especially for me, a neophyte sadhaka?
We should decorate the house and we should prepare a wonderful feast in honor of Srimati Radharani and recite beautiful prayers, have kirtan, and have a very joyful festival with as much grandeur and decorations as you can. It shouldn't be just another day that we just fast in the morning and then we have a little lunch at lunch and then we mention it. Should be a festival, big festival.
Maharaj, is there any particular prayer or any set of prayers which we can recite?
Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Kriye. That's one of the prayers. I can go, give me a minute here and I will go to another prayer.
Yes, please, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Srimati Radharani. I will find one set of prayers that you might find interesting here.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And these are glorifications of Srimati Radharani. Okay. Let's see what I can find here. How to pray to Radharani. Here it says, Rupa Goswami shows us how to pray to Srimati Radharani and what to ask for. Yemi Bhakta Jana Parta, Name Bhakta Chite Janaha, Mad Bhakta Nam Ye Bhaktas, Temi Bhaktatma Mataha. O Arjun, son of Prita, those who claim to be my devotees directly are not really my devotees, rather those who are the devotees of my devotees I consider to be my greatest devotees. This is from Adi Purana. Of all Krishna's devotees, Radharani is supremely exalted. She is no ordinary mortal like you or me, but the embodiment of his personal pleasure potency. Although distinct and able to engage in loving devotional service to Krishna, Sri Radharani is in fact identical with him. He is the supreme God. She is the supreme goddess. Krishna is the Lord of Vrindavan, the spiritual world, and Radharani is its queen. Thus she is known as Srimati Radharani, the illustrious queen of Radha. The illustrious queen, Radha, together Radha and Krishna constitute the absolute truth. There is Sri Radhastika, which are prayers given by Rupa Goswami. I can send this text to Lavanya and Srinivas, and then anybody who wants it can have it. And these are some of the prayers that describe the glories of Sri Rati Radharani. This, the text is quite long and has a lot of prayers like that. So these are some things we can let's see if I can find it here. Okay, this is the one I was looking for. Radha Rasa Vari Ramya Ramya Char Paramatmana Rasu Bhava Krishna Kamta Krishna Bhakti Stalastita. She is the queen of the Rasa dance. She gives pleasure to Krishna, super soul in the hearts of all. She is Krishna's lover and always situated on the chest of Krishna. One of many beautiful prayers. If you do a little research, you can find this is called Radha Pranama. She is a resident of Gokul, Vrindavan, and is a cowherd damsel. She is the queen of the gopis and the divine mother of the cowherd boys. She is joyful and always experiencing the highest bliss, and she incites the desires in the heart of the son of Nanda. Okay, of course, topics about Radharani are very confidential and are not meant to be discussed in a general audience, especially in regards to her pastimes. And Srila Prabhupada always refrained from discussing many of these things in general, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu strictly avoided that, but we get a little understanding of her glories from the Shastras. I would suggest everyone read the fourth chapter of Adi Leela. And there, it's all about Srimati Radharani. That fourth chapter, Adi Leela and Chaitanya Charitamrita, is full of the glories of Srimati Radharani and the position of Srimati Radharani.
Thank you, Maharaj. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Dhanvat Pranam Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Mamta, how are you? Your audio.
Mataji,
you are on mute, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Dandat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving us your association. We miss you so much in Charlotte.
I miss everything about Charlotte except one thing. The summer heat.
And surprisingly, it wasn't very hot this year.
Really?
It has been, yeah. It was mostly cloudy. But maybe you will feel hot, but it was okay. It wasn't very sunny and it wasn't very hot, so.
But everything about Charlotte is wonderful.
Yes.
Even the heat is tolerable.
And
everything. I always enjoy staying with the devotees there and doing programs.
Yes. Maharaj, we miss you so much because every time during summer you come and visit us for a week or so. So since ever I have been in Charlotte since 2016, 15 and 17, 18, every year we saw you here and it's been like, you know, festival every time you visited. But this year, you know, you couldn't come and there was such a, you know, big void. But when we see you on Zoom and we get to hear you, it somehow, you know, pacifies us, but it's still not the same.
I look forward to coming again when Krishna says it's okay. Okay.
How can we serve you, Maharaj, from like, you know, in this situation?
Make a wonderful festival for Radharani.
Hari Bol.
Your name, Mamta, means that Radharani has that name. It means Krishna is mine. Only she has that name, nobody else. She can say, Krishna belongs to me. Krishna belongs to nobody. But only Radharani can say that. She's called Mamata or Mamta, same thing.
Okay. Maharaj, thank you so much. Your instructions always, you know, save us and, you know, give us relief in this world. Really, thank you so much, Maharaj.
Anyone else would like to?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Sham Gauri. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. As Mamta Mataji said, it's like when you come, it's like a festival in Charlotte.
You're supposed to ask a question.
Yeah. My question is, who was Sita Thakurani in Krishna Lila? In Gaudiya?
I don't have that knowledge, but I can tell you where you could possibly find it, and that is, there's one scripture called Gora Desh Deepika by Kavi Kanapur. Kavi Kanapur, Gora Ganadesh Deepika. It's the who's who in, from the different leelas. So if you can secure a copy of that either online or otherwise, you might be able to find a little bit more about Sita Thakurani.
Yeah. Thank you, Maharaj.
We have a question. Is the reason for refraining from talking about the pastimes of Srimati Radharani similar to Sita Thakurani riding covered so common men couldn't see her? That's a pretty thin analogy. But what Prabhupada has instructed us that, you know, her pastimes are not for, even for the general audience, because people will immediately misunderstand and equate with these leelas to be ordinary. They're not ordinary. The difference between the leelas in the spiritual world and the activities of the conditioned souls in the material world, although appearing to be the same, are as difference between gold and iron. Gold is rare and valuable. Iron is base and so readily available. So it's just a matter of not, the audience will misunderstand. And when they misunderstand, they conclude wrong. And when they conclude wrong, they commit offenses. And so when they commit offenses, then their spiritual life is blocked. So therefore, one should be very careful. So we speak a lot about the tattva of Radharani and not so much about the leelas. The leelas, you can read about them in Prabhupada's books like that. Because Prabhupada's books have the explanations along with the tattva. That's why we give leela, we give tattva with leela and not leela itself. Because leela is not understood without tattva. Tattva means the underlying philosophical principles that make up the essence of the leela. There's been many offenses, great offenses, in depicting the pastimes of Radha and Krishna by people in general. And it's not only offense, but it's a great spiritual travesty, because it turns something beautiful into something else.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much for your very, very, very wonderful and enlightening association, as always. So Maharaj, about accessing Radharani's mercy from sadhaka level. Like, we are still a sadhaka, but we are given Brahman initiation and we are given the opportunity to worship Radha Krishna in the temple. And they're accessing her transcendental form. But I mean, from my viewpoint, I mean, I'm still in sadhaka level. So I want to know, like, what, how to avoid offenses. And for a sadhaka, what is Srimati Radharani? What aspects of Srimati Radharani should we meditate on?
About her appearance, you can hear about her pastimes that are mentioned in Prabhupada's books like that. I would strongly restrict anyone to hear about Radharani outside of Srila Prabhupada, because people have a tendency to speculate and add their own, what we say, faulty ideas, lusty desires. Our attitude should be very humble, and we can offer prayers to Srimati Radharani. We pray with the Mangalacharanam prayers, Tapta Kanchana, Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavane Sudhi, Rishabhanam Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priya. That is also a beautiful prayer, and it's a recommended prayer. It's a prayer we recite regularly. In glorification of Srimati Radharani. We can also hear the pastimes of Gadadhar Pandit, who appears as Srimati Radharani in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Although his mood is slightly different, still he is the manifestation of the internal energy, Radharani, with an element of Lalita Shakti also within his existence. And so you can hear about Gadadhar Pandit. So I think if we just stick to Srila Prabhupada's books, because Prabhupada's books give the clear explanations of everything he speaks, and his lectures, you won't have any problems. I think a problem goes when we go outside of Prabhupada, and then we have so many problems. Prabhupada's given instructions. He's also given lectures on Radhastami. Stick the probe on, you're okay.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you so much for your wonderful association.
Yeah, I had one doubt. Like you said, chapter 4 from Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is Adi Lila chapter 4, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, thank you, Maharaj. Sorry for interrupting. Hare Krishna.
No problem. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to your services. It is so inspiring to see you and always, like in the week we saw you twice. So it's really, really our big fortune to have you. Maharaj, I had like two queries really. Like we, when we have worship of Srimati Radharani, we have it at a very high level, right? Like when we hear to Srila Prabhupada's classes, we are told that Srimati Radharani's feet is also not being shown to the devotees on only on specific occasions we are able to see her. So like only Radha Ashtami or only Gopa Ashtami we are able to see the feet. So with respect to that, how should our like everybody is eager to see Srimati Radharani's feet. So that bhav, like I don't know, like how should we be thinking about it or how should we be meditating on the Radha Ashtami festival to look ahead to Srimati Radharani?
As we take darshan of any deity, we start with the lotus feet like that. But we offer prayers. The mood, it's the most important thing is the mood. It should be in a prayerful mood, a mood of humility, a mood of service. When we approach the deity, any of the forms of deity, particularly Radharani, we should be in the mood of service. So we pray to Srimati Radharani, please give us your mercy so we can serve our spiritual master nicely, and so he'll be pleased, like that. We can pray for mercy, we can pray for devotional service, we can pray for a greater understanding of the glories of Srimati Radharani and of course Krishna. Radharani by nature is considered to be very, very kind. She's more kinder than Krishna. Prabhupada gave us a little statement. He says, mother is more kinder than father. Because on Janmashtami we fast at night, on Radhashtami we fast half the day, so who's more kinder? So that's Radharani, she's very kind. So as long as we keep the mood of humility and submission, we're not trying to, you know, approach by learning so much. We're not trying to learn so much when we approach. We're trying to be in the mood of service. We pray for service. We pray for devotion. We pray for the opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness. We are not jnanis, we're bhaktis. Jnanis are always trying to learn so many things. But the bhaktis are always trying to serve and offer devotion. And knowledge comes when we're in the right mood of service automatically.
So, Maharaj, I always had this.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I always had this question when, like, I was not able to ask anyone. So, I think I'll take the opportunity to ask you. Maharaj, we do not feel like that we are not in the position to serve Radharani directly, right? So, but whenever I'm on the altar, I always have that hesitation to touch Radharani's feet. I do not feel that I am capable to do it or I should not be doing it. So am I thinking it right, or I should go ahead and if there is an opportunity, I should go and touch her feet? I don't know.
You can touch her feet in your mind.
So Maharaj, continuation of the same question, when we are doing deity dressing at home, how we should approach deity dressing. Because,
well, with humility, with submission, with a desire to offer the nicest service we can in the form of dressing, combination of moods, humble, but at the same time very much attentive to making our offering of dressing in the nicest possible way.
But during those processes, we are touching the deities and then we are like touching their feet, we are touching them, sometimes we are twisting them a little bit to make the dressing nice. So how does our mood should be?
As long as you're in the right mood, then your service will be accepted. And you should also be very gentle when it comes to handling deities like that. You should not be passionate, because if you're passionate, you can also make mistakes and sometimes commit offenses. You should be very, very attentive. Mind should be fixed on the service. There shouldn't be any external distractions, or even your mind should not be wandering to other things while you're doing the service. If you're touching the deities, you have to touch the deities in order to serve them. Well, that is ordinary. That's natural. You can't avoid that. So the mood is the most important thing, along with the desire to do the service in the nicest way. I think one of the things that we have to make sure that doesn't enter into our service is that the desire to do it quickly so we can finish and do something else. That when you have home deities, you're not restricted so much by the time element. When you're at the temples, there is a time for dressing the deities. And, I was a pujari for many, many years. And so we would always have to work with the time element also. And when the time came for to open the curtains, if we weren't finished, it didn't matter. We would open the curtains anyway. And so only those devotees who could do the service in the time that was allotted were given that service. And those who failed to do it within the time limit were replaced by others. So deity worship in the temples is highly, highly, what we say, restrictive in terms of how it's done. But at home, you have a little more liberty, liberty to use time and do it in the nicest possible way. Same with offerings and cooking like that.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anyone Thank else? You so much, Maharaj.
Thank you, Sita. Hare Krishna. So we'll begin giving a presentation on Friday. Is that correct?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay.
I would send you the list, shloka number, because during the week we will make some progress, and based on that, probably on Wednesday, I will send you the shloka number for next Friday.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you for your guidance and association.
Okay. I wish everyone well. Stay healthy amidst this somewhat very unusual time that we're in history. Keep good health and keep up your sadhana. We have more time now since we are not so much moving around to put a lot of more emphasis on quality. So chant nicely, read Srila Prabhupada's books, and plan how we're going to serve more and more when the future comes. It's also a good time for planning for the future as we are in our present situation. Okay. I offer my obeisances to everyone. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you so much
for glories to Sita Thakurani. All glories to Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Maharaj. Koti koti dandvat pranam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sham Gauri. And,